You're listening to Informa Health and Nutrition's Hemp Collective Podcast, an industry-wide effort to cultivate responsible business practices and dig into the latest topics facing the hemp and CBD industry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Hemp Collective Podcast. We have a great episode today. We are going to be talking about one of the things that's on everyone's mind when it comes to hemp and CBD, and that's the role of clinical science and where things are heading for both CBD and hemp overall. I'm joined by John Ryan, Chief Strategy Officer at Ananda Hemp. Hi, John. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jessica. It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for all of the great work that you're doing with the Hemp Collective and just in the hemp space overall. I'd love for you to just start by giving us a little bit of background on your role at Ananda Hemp and just who Ananda Hemp is and what you guys do over there.
Yes, absolutely. So Ananda Hemp is actually a subsidiary of Ecofiber Limited, which is based in Australia. Ecofiber was actually founded in the early 2000s by a fellow named Phil Warner, who was a early pioneer in the hemp industry. He was able to secure some early research licenses and, you know, some other key things from the Australian government to begin to study and understand the hemp plant and its impact, its potential impact in Australia, as well as globally. So, Phil really kind of used the entire country as a giant R&D playground, if you will. He developed genetics and technologies primarily for fiber decortication. But the challenge there was obviously the commercial marketplace. Australia, A, being a small marketplace, posed challenges, but, you know, B, moreover, hemp for human consumption until only very, very recently was not permitted. So in 2014, when the Farm Bill, the first Farm Bill got put into place, we essentially began transferring the IP, the genetics, even the personnel resource over to the state of Kentucky. And in 2015, we launched Ananda Hemp, which essentially was our division for ingestible products, initially starting with full spectrum hemp extract products, which of course were dominant in CBD, but also anything that could have a human health or even a cosmetic benefit, essentially was put under the Ananda Hemp division.
Awesome. Well, I'm always so impressed by how much you all do in the hemp space and your really comprehensive approach. And I know that science is no exception. So I'd love for you to outline a little bit about Ananda's perspective on the role of science in the future of hemp and CBD.
Sure. I mean, there's so many different ways to go with that question. But I think, primarily, first and foremost, understanding full spectrum hemp extracts, from the human health side of things, right? And the first move we made there was we hired just an absolutely brilliant addition to our organization, Dr. Alex Capano, who joined us in late 2017. She was actually the first to obtain or defend a PhD in cannabinoid therapy, and had spent nearly a decade in the clinic, primarily focusing on women's health issues. So, she joined us with a passion for cannabinoid science and, understanding how, these compounds could play a role in human health. So Alex has conducted a series of observational clinical studies, with various research organizations across the country. Most recently, we've partnered with breastcancer.org and obtained a botanical IND to use our CBD extract for patients that have chemotherapy-induced peripheral neuropathy. So that's, something that, we feel is, going to be very interesting to understand how CBD essentially can help people recover after they've had to gone through, the horrors of chemotherapy. We will actually be looking at some toxicology data in that study as well, which I can't say very, too much about, but, we think could potentially be helpful for the industry in its current state. But our whole goal really, I think, has been to take that research and figure out how practically it can be used in the field. Our sister kind of brand is Ananda Professional, which is the number one best-selling brand in independent pharmacies. And we found that by utilizing Alex and utilizing this research, we can have ways to speak with professionals in the space who then can translate that research and that education down to the customers at shelf or in the store. And it's absolutely been a strategy that's worked out very well.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for outlining that. I know Dr. Alex Capano, her work is so, so impressive. And to see how you guys have partnered around that to really push the envelope around science. And then to your point, have the really, the ways to implement that in your day-to-day business and make sure those innovations and that science actually reaches the marketplace is really cool to hear. And do you feel like overall, because you outlined some really cutting-edge things that are happening on the science front, do you think that overall the science has caught up to where the marketplace is right now? So is market driving it or is science driving it?
That's interesting because, foundationally, there's so much early research that, occurred in places like Israel and, elsewhere that, really drives such a strong conclusion that, cannabinoids and hemp-based compounds or extracts had a very important role in human health. So I think foundationally, a lot of that science was there. I think what we've experienced over the past 2 to 3 years is the marketplace grew very quickly. Maybe that science isn't advancing quite as fast. I also think that, one of the goals with Ananda Hemp is, not only focusing on CBD or, only just hemp extracts, but really trying to understand what other properties the plant has that can really be beneficial, for human health applications. We know, for instance, full spectrum is, has a stronger benefit than CBD by itself, right? So when you have all those cannabinoids present in the terpenes, you're likely going to drive a stronger effect for the consumer. But, we're trying to understand now in kind of this next phase, what about the other compounds, right? What about the flavonoids? The polyphenols, what kind of impact, how can these compounds be extracted and what kind of impact can they have? There's some data that shows that canflavin A and B have, tremendous pain relieving capabilities. For example, potentially the benefit could be just as high as CBD in itself. Perhaps flavonoids and polyphenols could have a huge impact on the microbiome. I mean, we just don't know these things. And I think that's really, one direction that we're really striving to move into over the coming year is, also understanding the potentials of the plant beyond cannabinoids. And I'll also note, as we know too, terpenes can, potentially have just as strong a benefit as cannabinoids. And that's one thing that's always made, I think, our products successful, or something that consumers really liked about our products, is from inception, we always put terpenes back into our tinctures. I believe we were one of the first to do that. But, just to kind of reemphasize the importance of understanding all these compounds and using them synergistically together to ultimately put the best product forward as possible.
So, John, when we talk about the CBD industry and we look at, going beyond CBD, thinking beyond CBD, when Ananda looks at that, it's about other cannabinoids as well as other compounds entirely in the hemp plant. Is that correct? You're kind of thinking about both of those as paths to new discovery and new innovation.
Absolutely.
Now, How are you guys going to be, are you focused on, you know, one particular compound when it comes to investing in science, or how do you figure out what to pursue? There's so much. I mean, the hemp plan is so full, as you outlined, of all of these great compounds, beneficial compounds, cannabinoids and beyond. So how do you kind of determine what's next in terms of Ananda's focus?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely a challenge without a doubt. And I think it's easy in such a nascent industry to be, you know, just enamored by so many different potentials that essentially you're going 12 different directions and nothing gets accomplished, right? That's you know, kind of small business 101, right? Kind of avoiding that situation. So, I mean, our strategy's been really to focus on putting forward the highest quality, full spectrum, you know, extract we can, again, with terpenes and, you know, with as much beneficial properties of the plant that we can deliver in one kind of flagship product. By the way, I'll also note that we press our own hemp seed oil and incorporate that into our capsule and tincture products as well. But moving forward, it comes down to, you know, I think identifying, you know, what the potential market needs could be. You know, I think everybody in the hemp industry has really kind of jumped on the cosmetic bandwagon, you know, because of, you know, kind of regulatory circumstances. But beyond that, again, you know, is it the microbiome? Is it, you know, what element of human health, you know, can we look at? You know, how do you leverage that, study it, and translate that into the ability to open up a market, or just finding what properties, you know, you have within your genetic capability. You know, if you have a genetic, say, that's high in a specific cannabinoid, obviously there's a lot of CBG out there now, but, you know, maybe it's, you know, a high CBC kind of varietal, then that gives you kind of a directional focus. Right now we are working with a lab, again, to identify, you know, profiles of flavonoids and polyphenols. And, you know, if we can find, you know, consistent identification of some of these compounds, then the next step is figuring out how to extract it, at what phase of the purification. You know, do we, you know, essentially capture the compound, and then how do you deliver it to the customer and then educate them? So it's definitely, we're in a discovery phase. But I think it's, you know, absolutely our goal to, you know, just push it to the next level.
Well, thanks for outlining that process. And you, as the chief strategy officer over there, probably driving much of that strategy. It's really cool to hear how, you know, you take the results from the lab and turn that into product development. And then from there, it's about educating the consumer. So I know that there's a lot that goes into that entire process. And I'm definitely very excited to see what you guys come out with next. And one of the things that I would love to talk a little bit more about is your position around sustainability, because it's not just about the science and the research, it's also about the sustainability and the environmental impact that you have. So I'd love to hear how you all kind of marry those two very important issues through the work that you do over at Ananda.
Yeah, I think our sustainability story first, you know, starts with our supply chain. We are completely vertically integrated in the town of Georgetown, Kentucky. So meaning, you know, all of our hemp is contracted within a 25-mile radius of our, you know, centralized headquarters. And, you know, at one location, we are processing, extracting, purifying, and bottling, you know, blending, bottling all of our products. So, you know, basically we're, you know, one central ecosystem where, you know, all the manufacturing takes place. Early on in our company's history, you know, with a parent company based in Australia, a team in California, a team in Philly, it's just, you know, and I think the industry faces this as a whole. It's, you know, when you're in a small, you know, early kind of environment, it's so easy just to be spread out. But you're getting that all in one place, you know, doing everything, meaning, you know, oil's not getting sent to one co-packer who then sends it to somebody else to label it. And, you know, we're just keeping everything in one place. And again, our footprint is extremely low by being completely vertically integrated in that environment. Moreover, our new headquarters in Georgetown is quite an amazing facility. Actually, it's LEED Platinum Plus certified, and runs on geothermal and solar power. So, keeping that vertically integrated and conducting our business and our product development in that kind of environment is one step we've really taken to give back to the planet. Beyond that, I think a lot of our sustainability story actually lies within our sister company, Hemp Black, which is a brand that we launched earlier this year. With Hemp Black, it's a textile play, and we've basically found some ways that we can take different kinds of polyesters and extrude that with various properties of the hemp plant. So for instance, we've taken recycled ocean plastic polyesters, like basically, RPET that I believe was initially developed by Patagonia a decade ago. But we've taken that substrate and we've extruded it with a hemp substrate and actually created a face mask covering out of that, which of course is permanent, and machine washable. And I think that actually, kind of a very current basis tells an interesting story of sustainability. Right now, we're in the midst of COVID and we're just dealing with it on a day-to-day basis, but we're not really contemplating the impact with all this, personal protective gear is having on the environment, disposable masks and gloves and all of this. It's estimated actually right now that by the end of the year, there'll be more disposable surgical masks in the Mediterranean Sea than jellyfish in the ocean, which is absolutely tragic. So, with the Hemp Black product, again, we're taking plastic out of the ocean. We're using a really proprietary, unique system to extrude, hemp properties into those polyesters and, creating a product that substitutes, something disposable that's ultimately going to pollute the environment.
John, that definitely speaks to where we are right now, a real need, and that's fascinating and very disturbing, that stat that you threw out there. And it definitely is a very real issue right now. I mean, of course, we're all looking for the, ways to keep ourselves and our families safe and healthy, but then the waste and the sustainability piece of that. It's also interesting and something I'd love to note and get your thoughts on is that we've done some research through New Hope Network during this time to see how consumers are prioritizing different issues, and two of them being social responsibility and environmental responsibility when they're looking at making purchases. And what we were kind of surprised by was that consumers are really prioritizing environmental sustainability and social responsibility during this time. So of course, they're thinking much more about health and wellness and prioritizing that, but also these other kind of values-based attributes of companies, which sort of is a direct contrast to some of the waste stats that you threw out there. So it sounds like a lot of the work that you guys are doing really speaks to, consumer demand for more responsibility from the companies that they're purchasing from during this time.
Absolutely. And, I think that's something that, one of the reasons why we're so proud to, continually partner with New Hope and your organization is you guys really, put those kind of messages and whatnot forward in the eyes of brands and the consumer alike early on. And, informing both sides of the market creates a situation where, no one would expect anything less. So whether it's COVID or not or whatnot, it's, absolutely imperative that both brands and consumer take that step to, absolutely ensure that the products they're buying, have those kinds of core values. And I definitely thank you guys for taking the lead on that stuff very early on, for sure.
Well, thank you, John. I just got done with a team meeting where we talked about something called the gratitude spiral. And it's like, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you. And I think there's a lot of gratitude spirals that happen in our industry because of the amazing work that's coming out of it. So I want to say thank you for your partnership and for the great work that you're doing at Ananda. And before we wrap up, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on for our listeners today?
I think the only thing, Jessica, that I forgot to mention is, what we're doing on the food side. I mean, you've asked about science and innovation. I briefly mentioned that we do press our own hemp seed oil. We do have the capability to manufacture, food products that are, of course, based off of the hemp seed, whether that's, oils or protein powders or fiber products. We very interesting market in its current state, but we think there's a lot of room for innovation there. And we ultimately think the consumer wants to see more innovation than what's on the shelf now. And obviously there's some, amazing products by some amazing pioneering brands, but, we're really looking at ways that we can, take these products and try to, attempt to value add them. And we, we just kind of dipped our toe in that. We did an omega-3 capsule that features our pressed hemp seed oil with algae-sourced DHA. We've done a blended hemp protein with various, kinds of adaptogenics and whatnot. And I think that's, just an early step. But, figuring out ways where we can, I think primarily in the fiber, take that, amazing source of dietary fiber and value add it, figure out how we can incorporate, the hemp food products into more, kind of downstream value added consumer ready, kind of ways, is something we're really looking at. And I think, we're actively, looking to, take it to the next level and find additional partners in that respect as well. We've made a lot of progress in Australia, actually. We're carried by the number one chain food retailer in the country. And we are working on some really interesting innovations down there, but I think we want to continue to advance that and really build out the food category over the next couple of years. I think it's prime for a lot of development.
Absolutely. And please keep us updated. I know that you will, and we want to make sure that we keep our audience updated on all of the great work that you're doing and always thinking in a really innovative way, but definitely focusing on using innovation for good, which is what we are all about here. So thank you so much, John. Really exciting stuff. And thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Jessica.
Hey there, thanks for listening. I'd like to take a moment to give a shout out to our Hemp Collective partners, and then we'll get right back to our podcast. These companies are awesome, and they're committed to growing a hemp and CBD industry that's focused on quality, transparency, and integrity. Ananda Hemp, Balanced Health Botanicals, Beneficial Blends, Bluebird Botanicals, Charlotte's Web Stanley Brothers, CV Sciences, Green Road CBD, Ecogen, Clearson, Corrent, Landris Bioscience, Medterra, Nutiva, Source Technology, and Sunsoil. Now, back to our podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Hemp Collective podcast series. I'm Fran Schoenwetter, Director of Content Marketing at Informa Markets. Joining us today on the phone is Anthony Almada, President and Chief Science Officer at Imagine Nutrition, a nutrition science think tank. Anthony's a biochemist and nutritional expert. For over 30 years, he's been formulating and examining scientific evidence and clinical efficacy of nutrients. He's a champion of evidence-based clinical nutrition for health and wellness, which is why I've asked him to chat with us today. Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you so much, Fran. It's my privilege to be here.
Fantastic. Today, we'll be talking about science. My discussion with Anthony will focus on specifically clinical evidence, benefits, and claims related to hemp CBD. So let's begin, and we'll start broadly, and we'll narrow in a little bit. So Anthony, can you give me your 30,000 foot view of the state of clinical evidence related to product claims on and off label, like websites, social media, other media sources, for hemp CBD?
Invisible. Nothing can be seen from 30,000 feet. Nothing can be seen from 3 feet.
Wow. So so are you saying that it's just it's hard to find the evidence and hard to see the evidence?
Well, if we define clinical evidence as part of your question, Fran, as systematic evidence obtained through appropriately controlled clinical trials, which some may advocate and others may not, rather than simply anecdote or practitioners who says that they've been getting really good results with product X or Y, if we use the rigor of a clinical trial against placebo or a positive, say, drug, and done by experts that have experience in conducting clinical trials, and then it undergoes a scrutiny of peer review and gets published in a review journal, we have nothing to describe any efficacy in a person that has a condition for which CBD or extracts of hemp are widely claimed to help or even cure.
So interesting. Of course, personal anecdote has been something that's used widely in traditional botanical medicine over millennia, but we're living in 2020 now, so the bar is set a little higher. We'll just say a little higher or much higher, and so for hemp CBD specifically, we certainly see claims on brand holders' products. What should they be prioritizing? How should they be approaching making benefit claims and composition claims as well on their products?
Well, I think in my discussions with a number of brand owners and consultants and academics, a large swath, or if not the entirety of the industry in North America, and perhaps even in Europe, is waiting to see, especially in the U.S., what the FDA performs as its next step in toward the allowance, and I won't say legalization, but allowance of hemp derivatives that contain cannabinoids that are being used for oral ingestion beyond that of just a hemp protein that goes into a cereal, which doesn't really have any cannabinoids. And so the should question, I think, is one that has a myriad of potential answers, because there's a significant amount of subjectivity. But I try to answer that question for any product with this question: what would a consumer expect or want to have in a product? And in all my discussions with consumers and patients and practitioners and academics, the expectation, which is tacit, is that the product is safe, of course, but also that it works. And the most widespread nutrient deficiency in the world, as I've described it for quite a while, is that of vitamin C squared, consumer confidence. And if the consumer does not have confidence that goes beyond evangelical faith that the product will work, even in a significant portion of the population like them, they are making an evangelical faith-based buy. And so what a brand owner or holder could do is to allocate, and most brands that are out there can afford this, allocate financial resources to subject their best product to a clinical trial. It doesn't have to be 100 people, that assesses its ability to do something beyond that of not cause an adverse reaction, beyond it being safe. And that can be done in the context of 6 months or less. And now you have something to give distinction to your product that it is effective for something.
Well, let's talk about this from a business case. Certainly we'll circle back and talk a little bit more about safety and efficacy. But since you brought up diving into clinical trials and supporting that, even as a brand holder, you've been a supplement brand founder. Can you talk to me a little bit about the investment in clinical trials and the return for the business?
Certainly. And I'm so glad that you asked that question, Fran, as I smile across my face in podcast land. The presumption, and I've heard this now for three decades, that clinical trials cost $1 million or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the other distinctive dissuading force to sponsor such a clinical trial is, well, then everyone can take our evidence, and we now have fueled an industry and made everyone a competitor on our back, and they'll use our claims also. Well, au contraire, a clinical trial done on an extract of hemp that meets that definition, and that it's less than 0.3 or 0.2% Delta-9 THC, or the intoxicating cannabinoid that is at the center of many people's concerns regarding cannabis or hemp, is maybe $30,000 to $50,000, and that could be spent over the course of maybe 6 months. That isn't a 100-person study. That isn't a 6-month study. But one of the most interesting things about CBD is that it is horribly malabsorbed, which means it is very, very poorly absorbed. And if one is believing that CBD works, then one will want to show, perhaps, that the CBD-containing composition that they're marketing and selling gets into the blood in measurable quantities. That small study that could be done is $30,000 to $50,000. And if you ask the question, how many products enjoy such a study done well against a placebo or even pure CBD isolate? None that have been published. None. So there are some rumblings. There have been exhortations that we have this bioavailability study, because that's what we're talking about here. But none have been published through and endured the scrutiny of peer review in a review journal. And so being a co-founder of several companies and investing over $1 million over the course of them in clinical trials at university on dozens of studies, the opportunity exists to allocate that 30-50K, which is a marketing expense, find the right research partner that has the ability to do the study well, and make that investment. It's like placing a bet on marketing advertising. You can't guarantee that the advertising and marketing campaign will generate significant returns on investment, nor can you guarantee that your product will work. But wouldn't that be an enormous leap forward if it did show superiority?
Yeah, that would be outstanding. You're talking primarily first, I see this as a stepping stone path, primarily first on compositional claims, where bioactivity or even absorption, not even activity, but just absorption, to show that there's some blood level activity compositionally in the body. And that would precurse a view of, well, what might a mechanism of action be that might then produce some kind of effect? And that's something you would look at differently from a clinical point of view, using perhaps a placebo-controlled double-blind study for a clinical. Is that what I'm hearing you saying, kind of a stepping stone approach to really getting clarity about what happens when you consume a specific product?
You are spot on, Dan, and I would magnify by stating the essentiality of showing that something that you put into your mouth gets delivered to where you want it to go, that having that validation that it's going there. How you do that study is key, but you also mentioned and asked about composition. if you look at many products that aren't just CBD isolate, which is presumed pure or near pure CBD, you see the term, or rather the phrase, full spectrum, broad spectrum, etc. Well, in hemp flower, which is the plant part that these products are derived from, there are several hundred chemicals. If one had a full spectrum hemp extract, they would analyze for those several hundred chemicals on each batch, or at least every other batch. No one is doing that, nor is it affordable. So having full spectrum is a misnomer. Broad spectrum is a misnomer. Having a defined spectrum is appropriate. You'll see the word flavonoid, or our extract contains flavonoids. There are distinctive flavonoids that are present in hemp flower that have distinctive aspirin-like effects. These are the canned flavins. No one is measuring them. No one knows how to measure them. No one knows where to go to measure them, but they say that they're in there. That's a great misrepresentation of what's in the product. So if you have something in the product and it's present there in significant quantities, a few percent, which is significant, or more, why not measure that too? And if that gets into blood or something that the gut or the liver would metabolize into something different, but we know what it could be transformed into, show that also. That's a significant competitive advantage that no one is considering. What about the other things that are in there? The terpenes. What about the unique specific flavonoids? What about other constituents that go beyond CBD or fatty acids? These are all opportunities for distinction and for storytelling that can help a brand ascend above the noise of everyone having a generic product. Because the focus upon CBD alone, on taking CBD, well, you're not taking CBD. You're taking extract where CBD is 25% of the composition. That's not CBD. You're taking a low CBD extract. That's very different than taking pure CBD, which most brands are not selling pure CBD. They're selling extracts that contain it as a minority constituent.
So most brands are, if I'm getting this straight, are calling what you've just described the very broadly and generally the entourage effect. But what you're, and you can correct me if that's not what you meant, but I think that's what you meant. And what I'm hearing you say here is that that needs to be much, much more clearly scientifically understood as opposed to painting a broad brushstroke.
Well, you raise a really big flag, and that is the flag that is without a name that's been used for millennia among practicing herbalists and advocates of herbal medicine, is that if you take out a specific constituent of a plant, it is far less active than that constituent existing with its plant chemical brethren. And yet, if you ask the question, has anyone ever shown that a plant extract with, let's say, one identified active ingredient called CBD is more effective compared to that isolate CBD alone in the equal amount without THC? The answer is absolutely not. And if you ask the question, well, this company says there are studies. Well, let's examine those studies. Those studies that are cited as evidence of the entourage effect have 4 to 10 times the legal amount of THC that's allowed to be sold as in a product classified as derived from hemp. It's completely distant and unrelated to the actual composition that would be lawfully available for sale. And so most people don't scrutinize research that closely, and they say, oh, look, here's a study. Oh, okay, there's proof. Read the study. So the entourage effect, to demonstrate that, it would be very simple. Get pure CBD or CBD isolate from the same plant crop or lot that you extract your hemp extract from, give people equal doses of CBD and monitor certain symptoms or changes in blood or urine chemistry. and see if there is an additive or even synergistic effect by the complex that contains an equal amount of CBD, both being very, very low in THC. No one has done that, a distinctive and magnifying opportunity for a brand to undertake.
Well, that sounds like a huge opportunity. If a brand wanted to invest in doing some of this clinical science, where could they turn? Where should they look as a resource to support that, to find help with that?
Well, there are a number of clinical research organizations, or CROs, or clinical services organizations, CSOs, that are in Canada and U.S., that have undertaken studies with CBD-rich extracts of hemp. And if you go to clinicaltrials.gov, which is an actual domain, you will find a number of studies that have described their protocol, the recipe, the steps that are being pursued in conducting clinical trial. And there you will also find the different centers that are doing that. And there are several. Australia happens to have an increased luxury of conducting clinical trials with CBD-rich extracts of hemp that can be attractive to some companies that may have challenges in the U.S., but there are several sites in North America that have done and are willing to do clinical trials on extracts of hemp.
Well, I know that we're going to, I'm sure that we're going to get some questions that are going to come in maybe through our editors about some of this. And, you know, we'll see what happens there. I know some of the organizations you're talking about that we could point people towards if they really, if they were looking for resources in that way. Clearly there's tremendous opportunity that's available right now, and it needs to be examined more. I'm so glad that we're having this conversation. We're kind of running down on our time here, Anthony, so I just want to open it up to you and see if there's anything else you'd like to add. Again, brands are the primary folks that are listening here, and you know, what would you like to leave them with? What do you think they really need to be thinking about when they're creating their products, wanting to put claims on their products, and honestly, helping the consumer? I know that companies are really out there to help the consumer.
Well, again, put your money where your marketing is. And those brands that are really out there to help the consumer have the money to do that. But it's simply an executive decision. It's a decision from the chairman of the board or the board. But those resources are available in a significant portion of the companies. The other advice or exhortation is to ask the question that very few ask is, how do we know that our extract of hemp, which has, let's say, 24% CBD, for the benefits that we're hearing about, the unsolicited comments from many users across the globe who rave about this product, how do we know that CBD is the actual mediator of that benefit or those benefits? If we look at, and this is in the in quotes, and I'm channeling a CEO of a hemp extract company, if we look at the research that's been done in humans, with almost all of it using drug form hemp, which is different than what's on the marketplace, drug form CBD, excuse me, which is chemically different and is chemically defined, unlike the CBD that's not chemically defined in the marketplace. If the median daily dose for efficacy related to anxiety, some studies for sleep primarily, maybe for nicotine-associated behavior, is around 425 milligrams a day, and we're recommending 25 to 50, is it plausible to believe that this dose that we're recommending is working because of the CBD, or is there something else in there that may be CBD-independent or a breakdown product of CBD that no one's looking for is what's really working? That's the question that no one has asked. And that, to me, is a question that is ripe with opportunity for patents and for a cornering of this marketplace.
Well, clearly science is never providing convenient truth, but it does provide truth, provides evidence. So, you know, for brands that really want to be on the forefront here in, you know, what's still an industry and it's not even in its adolescence, but probably its childhood still, it seems that the opportunity is wide open for really stepping in and taking leadership. So I really appreciate all the questions that you've raised here. And like I said, I'm sure that we're going to hear some questions from some companies that take a listen to this. Challenging information is sometimes provocative, and it's always necessary. Thank you so much, Anthony, for taking the time today.
Thank you, Fran, for the privilege and opportunity to share with your listeners one person's perspective. My honor to be a participant today.
Yeah, I know it's provocative, and I know that we'll get lots of, it'll raise a lot of eyebrows and raise a lot of questions as we move forward towards supporting the creation of a responsible and quality hemp industry today and into the future. Thanks, everybody, for listening today.